Miami to me means so much because, while it was a long time ago, so much happened there that was the beginning of what I'm doing now and who I am now.
Welcome to Beyond High Street, and if you're listening for the first time, thanks for joining the pod. Today we are talking to the CEO and chairman of the Octagon Sports and Entertainment Network, Rick Dudley, and he's also my boss, who runs one of the world's leading sports and entertainment marketing and management companies. He has 40 years of marketing expertise, including time at three professional leagues, the NFL, NBA, and NHL, all before taking the top helm at Octagon. And I love that he just had lunch with fellow Miami grad and president of NBC Sports and Programming, John Miller. It's time to talk Super Bowl and more.
Well, the Super Bowl, my history with the Super Bowl isn't 52, I guess there are now, but it does go back quite a ways. My first Super Bowl was Super Bowl 16, which was the first cold weather Super Bowl in Detroit. And the 49ers beat the Bengals. The weather could not have been worse. And the Super Bowl party that we had there was for about 300 people at Grosse Pointe Yacht Club. You fast forward to today, and there are multiple parties. The world converges on the Super Bowl city, and there are parties that start a week or 10 days before. They're going on right now, and they'll go on right through the next couple of days in the game and after the game. It is a huge cultural event. Yes, it's a sporting event, but it is a huge cultural event. It captures the time and attention of most everybody in this country and quite a few people internationally. And so the growth of the Super Bowl that I've seen since Super Bowl 16, the first one that I went to, and now is just unbelievable. The ratings are great. They're always great. I think this year they're going to be down a little bit. That's been a topic of conversation, NFL ratings generally. But still, a lot of people still think of Super Bowl Sunday as a holiday.
Yeah, I was looking at ratings yesterday, actually, because the Grammys were just down a bit on TV, 20%. But then I looked at football, and the Sunday night regular season games on NBC were almost the same as the biggest night of music on the Grammys, 18 million to 19 million. So it might be down, but the numbers are still 100 million plus, right?
Yeah, the numbers are still huge. I think globally it approaches 150 million. I think in this country, it's probably right around that 100 million. I'm not exactly sure. So it's a big number. And football generally, you know, if you look at the top 50 shows, 33, 34 of them are NFL. If you look at the top shows of all time, probably 9 of the top 10 are Super Bowls. The other one maybe would be the last episode of MASH. So it still captures huge numbers.
We'll get into your history because you've worked at a number of leagues in addition to being chairman and CEO now of Octagon Sports and Entertainment Network, of course, where I work. But what's the difference? I mean, you've got a couple different lens. You've worked the Super Bowl as someone that's worked for the league, but also as an agency head where you have brands and clients or athletes participating in the game.
Yeah, I mean, my career started in marketing, so I still view myself as a marketer. I got into the sports business in 1981 when I joined the NFL and worked there for the next 10 years. The Super Bowl then was the way to cap off the season and to celebrate with your partners another season. So it was a celebration. It was about the game, and you know, we never forgot that. But it was just a great way to celebrate with your partners and to thank them. I think now it's again grown so much, and it's not only a B2B opportunity where you're socializing with your business partners, but also a huge opportunity to take that to consumers, whether that's through sweepstakes or prizes of some kind, what have you. So it really spans the spectrum in terms of what it can be used for.
I think that B2B hospitality in Minneapolis is maybe limited this year to bowling, ice fishing, and a bit of skiing.
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned before, my first Super Bowl was in Detroit, and there was an ice storm that was followed by a snowstorm. We literally had to get out of the bus a mile from the Pontiac Dome, where it was played then, and walk the rest of the way so we could make kickoff. I hear the high temperature in Minneapolis this week is going to be 10. You know, it's a nice smaller city, so you can still get around, but it's a little bit different than if you're in Miami or New Orleans or some other warm weather site.
It serves well for the NFL with their gloves and hat merchandise, I guess, over the
weekend. That's right. A lot of licensed stocking caps being sold.
And so we go now this weekend coming up with the Super Bowl. You're switching gears because last week you were at the Grammys and a lot of brand work for Octagon and Frucht, another agency under your umbrella. How is that different or the same? It's the biggest of one industry moving on to the others.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of similarities, which is why in our business, we not only do sports, but we do music and film and fashion and culinary and all of the various passion platforms, as we call them. So there are a lot of similarities. You got to know your way around each one of them to really fully maximize it for your client. But the Grammys is unbelievable. I mean, it was in New York this time for the first time in 15 years. You go to Music Cares, where they honored Fleetwood Mac, and you see virtually every musician that's a star, as well as celebrities, both sports and entertainment. I was fortunate to go to the Clive Davis party, and there again, they honored musicians, and they were all out. So you're in a ballroom with just some unbelievable celebrities, and then the Grammys themselves, which was a great celebration of music and talent.
Would you say the same amount of B2B hospitality at the Grammys as there is at the Super Bowl, or is it a smaller, confined a bit?
Yeah, it's smaller. Doesn't mean it's not as intense in terms of people's interest and the value that you get out of it, but the numbers are just so much bigger for the Super Bowl, and then they're that much bigger for the World Cup and the Olympics. I mean, the Super Bowl in this country is huge, but it pales in comparison to the World Cup, and which is the biggest sporting event in the world every 4 years.
Yeah, so talk about that, because you've got a global remit running this, really the global sports and entertainment network here with Octagon and Frucht and Rogers and Cowan, Advantage Futures. Maybe share a bit of the differences of each, or really what the year ahead looks like with the World Cup and with the Olympics that starts up in a week.
Yeah, I mean, the World Cup is the event that the whole world, the eyes of the whole world are on. And for that, you know, 40 days or so of that tournament, there's nothing bigger. I think if you're an American and grew up in this country, you really don't have the appreciation of just how big it is, because if the Super Bowl has 100, 150 million eyeballs, the World Cup has 10 times or more that, literally billions. So it's a big event. There are multiple matches, obviously, as teams have qualified and then go through the early rounds and then on to the semis and the finals. But you know, it's unbelievable the value that our corporate clients can get out of that. In Russia, we'll have six sponsors of the World Cup that will be helping them activate and take advantage of that. It's an interesting market, obviously. We had a great World Cup in 14 in Brazil, South Africa before that. So we're at those events every 4 years, and then you throw in the Winter Olympics, which starts in just a couple of weeks. So you got a great year coming up, right? You've got the Super Bowl in a couple of days. You've got the Winter Olympics that start a week after that. You've got the World Cup that starts a few months after that, and it's a great time to be a sports fan.
Speaking of sports fan, I know at Octagon we pride ourselves on passion drivers research, understanding the fan, And there was a new one, or really a first ever esports passion drivers. That that industry has taken the world by storm recently.
Esports to me is an enigma, but it's becoming clear. It's still kind of chaotic in terms of the esports ecosystem right now. But, you know, up until a year or so ago, I was a real doubter because I just couldn't imagine going to an arena and watching people play a video game on a big screen. It just didn't compute for me. But I've seen it. I've experienced it now. I've looked at the numbers. I mean, just in this country, there are tens of millions, 34 million people that are involved in esports. They have different channels. Twitch is a big distribution platform for a lot of esports. The Overwatch League just debuted a couple weeks ago, and it's getting the attention of a lot of people. We have clients now, traditional clients that are you know, going after traditional fan bases, and they're finding that this is a great way to reach young men, and not just teenagers, but 20s and 30s. It's an unbelievable platform, and it's here to stay.
I was amazed when I went to one of those arenas that it's less of a just watching the screen, and it's more participatory, like a fan fest or a Comic-Con. People are coming in with their phones or their Kindles or their iPads and computers, and they're in the hallways playing with buddies or people they've never met from around the world in their own little groups, just playing along too.
Yeah, I think that's what we found in our passion drivers research. Passion drivers, just real quickly, identifies why people are fans of a particular sport. So in motorsports, we identified, not too surprising, but it's all about the driver. It's not about the team or even the technology in Formula One. It's all about the driver. In soccer worldwide, it's very tribal. It's all about the team. And in esports, a lot of that is about socializing and being with like-minded people. But that's a big part of what goes on in that sport.
As you've traveled the world with the NFL and Octagon and also time at other leagues, the NBA and NHL. How about Miami? Do you run into colleagues, either fraternity brothers from school, people you went to school with, or just is there a commonality that you see in the marketplace?
It's amazing how often I do. I can tell you of a few people that I have seen just in the last, well, in some cases, a couple of hours ago, and certainly in the last few months. I just had lunch with John Miller. John's a Miami grad. He's the president of programming at NBC Sports. I've known him for a long, long time, and we just had lunch talking about a lot of joint opportunities that we have. Octagon has several LPGA tournaments that we run and manage. Mike Wan is the commissioner of the LPGA, and I was just down in Naples at the CME, which is the final event on the LPGA season every year, and Mike and I were talking about a lot of the things that we have in common. I was at the Grammys, as I mentioned, and Dinesh Pawali is the CEO of Harman International. He is a Miami grad, and he was at the Grammys. Harman is a client of ours, and we had that in common. Talking about the Super Bowl, in my mind, the father of the Super Bowl is a guy by the name of Jim Stieg. He doesn't work at the NFL anymore, but he worked when I was there for 10 years and was there before and a long time afterward. He is Mr. Super Bowl. He ran the Super Bowl and everything that you had anything to do with the Super Bowl. Brian Nickel is the CEO of Yum Brands. Taco Bell is a client of ours, and I run into him. And then Mike Armstrong, who was the CEO of AT&T, are members of the same club up north here in Connecticut as well as down in Florida. So I run into him. So there's never, there's not a long period of time when I don't run into somebody that went to Miami.
It's fascinating. And every person I talk to says the same thing. No matter the level of the person, the executive, the industry, there seems to be great success from really almost anyone that came through Oxford, which is fantastic.
It is, and I think there's a bond there. I think we have to do more to capture what that bond is. A lot of schools have it. I think Miami has it and could have it even stronger. And I'd certainly be interested in trying to figure out how we'd make that, how we could get together and socialize as much as do business together.
You may get some phone calls straight off this when this podcast.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And Rick, now you have daughters that have finished school. So I'm curious to your perspective of when you were in school and what you learned and how you applied that to the first job to really what your daughters have gone through, and there's the social media world and different ways that people communicate. Curious your perspective on really from a generational side of what you've seen as a difference.
Yeah, I mean, Miami to me means so much because while it was a long time ago, so much happened there that. Was the beginning of what I'm doing now and who I am now. I went to Miami. My brother went to Miami. He's 3 years older than me. He fell in love with the place. I loved going there to see him. I loved the environment. And so it was pretty much when he went there and I visited the first time. So when I was, a sophomore in high school, I pretty much knew or hoped that I would go there. I made a career change there before I even had a career. I went there to be a lawyer, major in political science. I decided while I was there, no, I wanted to get into business. I got my political science degree, but then I stayed and got an MBA in business and marketing, and stayed through and got my graduate degree there. I met my wife there. I got married in Oxford. We had our reception at Houston Woods. I mean, there's so much that went on in that part of the world for me. What Miami was serenity, security, safety. I just loved being on that campus, it still conjures up those thoughts when I think about it. The process of going to school now is I experienced with our two daughters. We visited Miami. We didn't push it on them or not. They were both swimmers. One swam at Duke. One swam at Columbia. They both had reasons for selecting those schools. But the process of applying and getting into schools is so intense. I just didn't remember it that way when I was applying back when I was going to Miami. But it's a real important decision. As I said, it really sets the stage for who you are and where you're going. And, it worked out well, I think, for going to Miami.
And from a skill set perspective, social platforms have changed how we communicate or how we're able to, I guess, communicate instantly at scale. But skills remain the same in terms of just interaction, personal interaction with people or strategic thinking that you've seen daughters coming out or just even at Octagon, people coming out of school and what some of those traits are that have allowed them to thrive?
Yeah, I mean, I think school should be about obviously the education in a chosen field and learning what you need to know in that chosen field. But I think the most important thing too is discipline. And what I saw our girls do is get a great education, and that's true of those that go to Miami. But it's also discipline. I mean, they were both swimmers, so they had very little downtime, and they had to be disciplined. But I think that coming out of school and having that experience, having the ability to apply yourself and focus and really dive into and dig your teeth into something that you really love and enjoy is what, a career and coming out of school should mean. So, I think obviously the social media aspect of what goes on today is different, but people are the same.
I want to follow along with your word about discipline there. You are the chairman of a 1,000-plus person business around the world. What keeps you up every night? What wakes you up every morning? I get both from things to worry about maybe, but also opportunities ahead to consider.
Yeah, like many, but I think particularly in this, we provide marketing services and professional services. So our business is divided up into two areas. We represent athletes, and it's our goal to, and as clients, and it's our goal to provide them with the best professional services out there. And we have corporate clients, and our goal there is to provide them with the best marketing services possible. So we're a service-oriented company, and service-oriented company needs great people. So my job is to put the right people in the right places and set them up to succeed. And what keeps me up is making sure that everybody has the tools to succeed, has the opportunity to succeed, that we don't put obstacles, but we clear the path for them to succeed. It's really a people business. So what keeps you up is that the case, and losing the good people that you really need. You never want to do that. I mean, I think what gets you up every day is you know, I enjoy the marketing process. I enjoy the process of business. I really appreciate the idea of a P&L, that there's a top and a bottom line, and you manage everything in between. So having the opportunity to do that is really something that gets me up every day, and enjoying success in that regard. So to be with great people and have some success by financial metrics is what, you know, gets me up every day.
Thanks, Rick, for spending some time during Super Bowl week. I know it's always a busy 45-day period between the Grammys, Super Bowl, Olympics, and the Oscars. And I sincerely appreciate everyone listening and sharing feedback. Looking forward to some great conversations ahead. Thanks again, and see you at Skippers.